Mike and Vianna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Vianna, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B.
Everybody, and welcome to the RHAPBBBNB for the final 3 weeks of Big Brother 20. We have finally reached the end of this long road, the highway of the future, and it had some cracks along the way, but we have finally emerged at the exit into the fall that is 2018. Mike Bloom here with a motley crew of people to break down the final weeks of BB20. First, let me welcome my ride or die, my perennial final two partner, no matter what, Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
I'm good, considering this is the end of the hashtag Summer of Steve. It was a fun summer. Not so much Steve, but definitely summer. And so it's sad to see it come to the end, come to an end. But I'm excited to talk about the crazy finale that we had and everything leading up to it.
Yeah, goodbye, Summer of Steve. Hello, Fall of Fessel. It's coming. Just you wait, people.
No.
Who flipped? The leaves flipped. They changed colors without Fessel even realizing it. I'm so happy to bring in this guest, because I feel like it wouldn't be a season of the RHAP B&B without bringing this guy on near the end. You've heard him every week on Fridays. We're a bit late with our Puyah updates this week, but we're happy to have him on regardless. How you doing, Puyah?
I'm doing good, man. Summer of Steve is over, which means my podcasting career will be temporarily on hiatus until the next Big Brother season. But I couldn't think of a better oddcast to be a part of than the BBBNB finale. I'm happy
to be
here.
Yeah, guys, can you describe the brick walls that are behind you as you podcast? Because mine's just a nice, dank, very mortar-like gray.
The brick walls behind me are yellow, because that's the road I'm going to take out later.
Well, actually, Big Brother's going to be back sooner, Well, sooner than the summer, hashtag summer of, Stacy or whatever we're going to have next summer, because Celebrity Big Brother is back, which I am super pumped for. I mean, I think that a lot of us kind of saw it coming, but it's nice to have it officially announced and coming back for sure.
Yeah, Winter of Winston. Here comes the Celebrity Big Brother. Well, I want to speak about those oddcasts for a brief second, because I know that Taryn was mightily offended by them, poking fun at his profession of choice. What did you guys think of that? I just feel like in true Big Brother 20 fashion, where their definition of technology was murky at best, I think it was the perfect capper at the end of the season to have them define a podcast as sort of a live stream, sort of like a YouTube how-to video, sort of a hostage video from Angela's like trip to Guantanamo Bay, apparently. Puyah, it really seems like they didn't necessarily know what aesthetic they were going for here.
No, they couldn't decide. They had a little bit of everything. Like, Scotty had the Twitch stream thing going. Haley had the Instagram live frame going. So it was kind of like they couldn't decide which direction to take it. And everyone wasn't a podcast. I mean, sure as hell, some of them look more like a broadcast, like news broadcast. Like, Fessy looked like he was in a news broadcast. I did like the competition, though, ultimately. It was funny for me. And it was fun to see who's going to be what. I think Taryn was really triggered when Scotty got that Twitch one, though. Gotta say.
Yeah, exactly. Like hitting them where it hurts. Mm-hmm. So I actually loved it because it just fit with the Big Brother doesn't really understand technology theme, which was really ultimately the theme of the summer. It wasn't Big Brother, meets technology. It was like Big Brother doesn't understand technology. Right.
Yeah. So it was I love it. I mean, Big Brother was essentially the grandparent that calls you every week to be like, right. How do I turn on the cable box? what's an app? Like, that was essentially Big Brother the entire season. So I was totally happy with it. They were very much living in like this Sam space of, aptitude when it comes to technology.
Yeah, right. I was actually kind of hoping for the, when you your parents like hold the camera too close to their face, like to your face or to their face. And mm-hmm. So it's just like sort of their eyes and then half the ceiling is the other half of the screen, because that's sort of what you see. Like, I was expecting one of those, but I was pretty happy. I mean, they were so stupid, and it's so funny to watch them try to act. Like, Angela was so clearly reading some type of teleprompter or cue cards. You could like see her eyes scanning back and forth, which I think then goes back to Fit, the fact that she was actually, you know, kidnapped, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I did love, my favorite might have been Brett's like Jim Cramer Mad Money yes. style, like, which again, to Puya's point, isn't exactly a podcast, more of a broadcast. But I just love that, like, to that point, on the other side of the enthusiasm spectrum, you have Brett, who was screaming at a decibel level 11 for the entirety of his 80-something days in the house. To have him, you know, end the season on that, I feel was very apt.
Mm-hmm. And he had the sound effects, too. I think that was my favorite part, was he had the sound effect buttons. So it was like parodies, sort of, but mm-hmm. not like completely fleshed out. Again, totally fits. But I think to Puya's point of actually the content of the competition, you know, I like that it actually wasn't a crapshoot. You know, I know Taryn said he likes that idea, but it was nice to actually finally see the days incorporated into the game. I think it was something that was similar to what we saw in Celebrity Big Brother the first season this past winter. And I, for one, appreciated it.
Yeah, I'm very totally. Good with those. I really enjoy that. I did enjoy that they have to, you know, they have to earn it. It's the last one. It should be the most important one. And as far as technology and Big Brother goes, I'm really excited for BB30 when they bring back the technology. And then there's a veto comp with some kind of book cameo parody going on where old house guests will send messages in and they got to figure out who said what and who it's about.
Exactly. That's when Eric Stein and Rob take over as showrunners for Big Brother 30 when they finally get the dual hosting role. Well, let's sort of pull back the scope a little bit and focus on not only the finale, but the past few weeks of Big Brother, because, you know, it has wrapped and we have a lot to get to. But first, in true Julie Chen Moonves style, I want to get your thoughts on not only the past few weeks of BB20, but BB20 as a whole, looking back. I don't know if either one of you do, you know, season rankings, but I would love to go around the horn and hear what each of you think about the season as a whole, and if possible, where they rank. Puya, let's start with you.
All right. So for me, you know, it's hard to rank. There's 20 of them. I got to think about all 20. But as far as recent memory goes, let's go with when I first started watching live. So from 15 to now, I do think this was probably the best one, with like BB17 knocking at the door. It was really fun. I did enjoy it. The pre-jury stuff was amazing. The jury stuff kind of did peter out a little bit, but there were still sparks here and there for me that I enjoyed. And as far as a podcaster goes, as a live feed updater goes, this was my favorite one to cover so far in since BB19. Out of the BB19,
so much, Puya.
I mean, BB19, Celebrity Big Brother, BB Can 6, then this. Out of the four, been my favorite one. But it really did remind me how much I love enjoying this show and taking it in from both the show angle, feeds angle, character angle, and then the internet on top of that, you know, with the fun stuff you get out of Reddit, the fun stuff you get out of Twitter. Ultimately, I loved it. Also, just to make sure that I am safe, I love Tangela. Tangela's the best couple we've ever seen. They are the light of my life, and they inspire me to be in a Tangela-esque relationship.
I think for me, also, of course, yes, love Tangela. Tangela's the best. All hail Tangela. I think that there's a tendency to let the past, you know, 4 weeks or whatever of the game where things really started to get boring, you know, just stand out and really be like, oh my God, yeah, see, you know, see, this season is no different. It's just as boring as all the other seasons. But I think it was, and this is crazy for me to say, but the recap show on Sunday that reminded me, like, oh my God, this season was awesome. I think because thinking about, you know, on my daughter's birthday, the fight with Rockstar and Brett was so crazy. Caitlin messing up the puzzle. Like, really, the first 2/3 of this season were dynamite. I mean, they were just so good. And, you know, yeah, the end of the game was maybe a little bit more on the boring side, but I still think that they're, you know, with JC winning that final four HOH, there are a few curveballs that still make it somewhat exciting. And I think also, you know, some people have think that, well, you know, Tyler didn't win and that can maybe put a sour taste in people's mouths. But I think when we look back in the season as a whole, it was freaking awesome. And I agree with Puya, like, covering it, I was so excited to do the updates, and I can't really say that about BB19. Now I know that that's only one season in comparison, but still, I thought it was a ton of fun, probably in my top 5 seasons for me personally.
Wow.
Could be a recency bias, which I will admit, but in the moment, that's how I feel.
Top five, baby. Yeah, I would say, I don't know if it would be top five for me, but I would definitely say top 10, which I guess makes it sort of in the top half of seasons. I mean, just breaking things down, this cast, say what you want to about strategic acumen, considering that I think one side of the house might not necessarily have compared to the other side, which I think contributed to what you guys were talking about in terms of the internet's growing apathy towards the latter half of the game. But they all brought something to the table, and whether it was ironically or unironically, I feel like they each had like a story to be told on the show as well, which, you know, kudos to not only the contestants but the editors for doing that as well, because it's tough to do when you're editing a show on the fly and you're like, oh, gotta come up with a storyline for Matt Kleins now, what's Matt Kleins doing? You know, it does really feel like everyone sort of had their moments in the game. To Puya's point, I mean, those first 6 weeks of the game were dynamite. So many memeable moments, so many viral moments. You know, I would dare say probably the best most entertaining pre-jury phase out of any Big Brother season. I do wonder how this season would come across on a rewatch, because I do think one of the good things about Big Brother is that when you're not watching it day by day, there are certain things you can almost fast forward through or say, okay, we can push through this. Like even BB17, which I think is also held highly in regard of, if we're talking about like modern Big Brother, if we're using Amon's definition of like BB16 on, BB17 sort of held up next to it. Even BB17, I think, had a big sag in the middle with like the Jackie, Meg, James boots, mm-hmm. you know, the when the Gremlins ended up going out. And so I feel like, I don't know, I might be inclined to say now that this is our fifth season with this, 12, 13 week format. Do we think that that's just going to always be a natural consequence of the way the game is? That, you know, I would say that BB17 might have had a stronger end game or the strongest end game out of this final batch. But the fact that all of these seasons have some sort of part where we're saying, OK, next, yada, yada, yada. I wonder if that just means that, you know, it's not necessarily the contestants or the gameplay. It's just the fact that the game is so long that there's naturally going to be these types of weeks where we go through the motions.
Yeah, I think, you know, it's that long and there's three episodes a week. What edited show or written scripted show could even be that interesting? You know what I mean? I just feel like there's so much content that they have to put out there. Like, how do you not have some weeks that are going to lag, that are going to be boring? And I think, you know, oh, maybe this is where the twists come in, try to spice things up and make it a little bit more exciting. But I just think with the sheer number of episodes that they have to get out, I mean, I of course it's going to be boring from time to time. And that's why I think, you know, so many of us go back to, all right, we need to go back to the 70-day season. I think that that's better. Obviously, I really don't think that that's going to happen. So I think we're just going to have to sort of get used to these weeks that are a little bit of a lull. I will say for me, though, as covering it too, sometimes it's kind of nice to have a lull week where you're just like, oh, thank God. Like, I feel like I can breathe a little bit. So, you know, it is nice, but I do say, like, feel like on a whole, you do have these lulls and it's overall probably not that great.
Yeah, I feel like when it comes to this format of having the 90 days or 99 days, if you will, it's important to note that this kind of show, it really does end up, because the more people leave, you're leaning on whoever is left to produce this show now for the remaining weeks. And while, you know, the whole Tyler, oh my, like Tyler's really killing it. Level 6 is getting to the end. As Liana mentioned, aside from the JC hiccup where JC wins HOH, it was pretty much starting to get clear cut. And that was what kind of killed BB19 was, come Friday, we knew who was going to get nominated. We knew who was the replacement. Mm-hmm. We knew who was going to go out. And that really put a damper on everything. And like, obviously the internet, we've all gotten together. We've talked about what can be changed. You know, there was this meme thread that was going around of like, you have three wishes for the show. What are they? And I saw a lot of people mention like, add more people and increase, put a double eviction in there. If you're going to do this, put another double eviction in there. And I do think stuff like that will help. The fact that the double eviction this time around came in, we barely got it. We almost didn't think we were going to get one because of the Caitlyn thing. It really does. The end game is where it slows down and it does lean on who's left. Because 17, you mentioned, Mike, the end game was pretty fun. And we had the Oz twins, we had Vanessa, we had Johnny Mack. We still had people that, like, we were rooting heavily for some of them. And then for other ones, they were just entertaining to see how they were going to crack the end game. So there are these things that it depends on. And if it doesn't land the way you want it to land, it does get boring, it does get stagnant, and it is difficult to, you know, make a good show out of it at the end.
Yeah, though I will say that the double eviction, while I agree, I think it came super late, you know, and we were definitely missing an earlier one that we usually do in the game with 16 players, especially with a buyback. I don't know. It was one of those things where if we're putting this on like the spectrum of double evictions between, you know, OK, we know this person is going to go out and they know they're going out to we don't know this person's going home and they don't know they're going home, like Judd's eviction and BB15. Mm-hmm. This sort of fell towards the latter end of the spectrum because while we knew the plan going against Brett, Brett had no idea. And so I do think there was some entertainment value in that that I think put it above some of the other double evictions that we've seen in recent seasons. But I do agree that I think, you know, we're about to get into our preseason predictions and we're going to talk about basically half the cast. There were seven people left for the final 3 weeks, which is pretty crazy. I do think that throwing in a double eviction, you know, early on in the season or even to start off the jury like they do sometimes is a good way to sort of rile things up. I don't know if the producers were figuring like these guys are creating their own frenetic energy. Maybe we don't need to necessarily rock the boat in that regard, but still, you know, it's a sturdy boat. You can rock it a little bit, Liana.
Yeah, well, I was thinking about that because most of the twists came in the early part of the game where I feel like you have more characters and you're actually going to have probably more chaos just because, you know, you have more people to pull from as in terms of content. So I know that this is probably not a popular opinion, but I think it will make the end game, you know, maybe more exciting if that's where the twists come into play. So, you know, I don't know if we'll see that, but yeah, I think it's sort of the combination, Puya, like you were saying about the combination of the people that were there, but they also sort of get fatigue, I feel like, right? Mm. I mean, that's what Sam was kind of going through, right? She's going through fatigue and getting tired. And, you know, Angela and like, and Tyler, I mean, Tyler is just, you know, things are going well, so we can let his foot off the gas. But then also, it's just hard to do that for 99 days. So, you know, I don't know how you necessarily combat that apart from making a shorter season. But it, you know, it's going to be interesting. I don't think that the format really, though, is going to change moving forward. So I think we're sort of, we're going to be stuck with this for a while.
Yeah, what I would advise is, you know, I can understand the double feature that was the Survivor premiere and Big Brother finale, but looking at how everything played out, I kind of would have liked a Big Brother 2-hour finale. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's something that I would take back if I saw the final product. But I mean, I think we saw it actually vocalized here for the first time this season about, you know, how the finalists felt they didn't necessarily have enough time to, you know, vocalize their entire 99-day game. Or how, you know, we got essentially the first 40 minutes was the final three round, which left us very little time for anything else. Or the fact that we didn't talk to any pre-jurors, in spite of the fact that we had probably one of the biggest reality TV characters of the past couple of years in Caitlin, unfortunately, sit there mute the entire time, like her late Uncle Lou or Grandpa Lou. It was really, really interesting finale, both between the results and the actual way it was structured, Puya.
Yeah, it was, I think 2 hours would have been necessary, maybe even longer. Rob has mentioned, like I've heard on these podcasts, that, you know, moving the final three HOH part one, part two into the recap episode, that way you have room here. Because it's one of those things where they were privy to the fact that there were some shenanigans or some actions that they wanted to implement, including the pre-jury. So knowing that, they rushed these two. I mean, we talk about how, you know, it's 39 days on Survivor and the final three get to talk for like 2 to 3 hours. And then they edit that down to give us enough to fill in a finale. But then here it's live. It's a final two. They've been there 99 days and they each get like minus the pauses and the questions over like 6 minutes to really, you know, put everything into perspective for these people. It's not helpful. It's not good in that aspect. And it really does take the wind out of the sails. Like, the pre-jury was a lot of fun. Caitlin speaks for herself, but I want to know about Steve. The man looks different now. He looks amazing.
He lost like 60 pounds.
Like 60 pounds.
Yeah. Give me your secrets.
Truly was summer of Steve. Or lack of Steve. I guess we lost a lot of Steve. So
we lost more. Yeah, we lost a lot of Steve in more ways than one.
Exactly. Not only on the show. So I you know, a lot of people have been complaining about the way that the finale is always organized and the jury questioning. And I think that this was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back. And not to sort of spoil a Casuals Corner segment that will be coming later, but the Casuals were not happy either. And I think that if Big Brother is going to get so much pushback on how terrible the finale was, I would hope that then they would do something about it. Because I agree. I mean, this was worse than normal. I think that everything just felt so rushed. Yet we didn't get to talk to Caitlin. I'm sorry, but they need a reunion. Yeah. So I'm hoping that this is sort of the precipice of the pendulum swing that will then start to swing back. And now we'll be able to get either a longer finale or, yeah, move part one and part two to the recap show. Although, you know, then no one's going to watch the finale, obviously. Although that's a risk they're going to have to take. But I think that now is the time to do it in preparation for next year.
I only hope that CBS followed up on their error with just doing a nice 60 minutes, you know, full episode interview with Caitlin, like they do with the sitting presidents.
Yes, exactly. She totally deserves the exact same treatment.
Totally. So let's move away from the macro talk and more into the micro talk. As I mentioned before, we're going to go over not only a bunch of our preseason predictions
micro
here.
Penis.
Oh, I was going to say, we're going to talk with someone who is accused of having something micro. I didn't even realize that in saying it. But we're going to go through our preseason predictions for the final seven. And Liana, I know you have some other stuff prepared as well. Puya, as usual, you are the arbiter. But before we get to that, just so I can clarify, Puya, I have done nothing to anger any of your favorite Big Brother players, right? I haven't mocked them in any way, just making sure.
No, Mike. And I got to say, this is the fourth time I'm making an appearance on the BNB, but only the second time I've seen you or talked to you. And the last time I did, I feel like we got off on the wrong foot with the Malcolm kerfuffle, as I like to call it. So you are forgiven and pardoned. This is a best of seven, and may the odds be in your favor.
Oh my God.
We'll see if it's as close as Casey and Tyler, or if it's as lopsided as I don't know, Adam and Ryan and A Baller from Big Brother 9.
that so, was your go-to.
I don't know why I was thinking of a 6-1. I guess I could say Boogie and Erica too. There were a lot of 6-1 votes early on in Big Brother, not so much lately, but let's get down to it. We'll start with from seventh place, Liana. Let's go to you. What did you have to say about Haley Miss 7th place preseason on BB20?
All right. I'm going to start off strong. I had Haley making the jury. And for her, I wrote, she will be a shocking comp beast / winner. We will see a confessional of her on premiere night, saying she felt butterflies looking at Fessy. And I know, right? And comic book name idea was the blonde bombshell, which is so creative. I know.
I mean, to be fair, you were kind of, I think, thinking along the same lines as the comic people, because I think now that we've actually seen the comics firsthand, a bit of a womp womp in terms of the comics, mm-hmm. particularly for BB20, Puya.
Yeah, they were really, really dropped the ball here, especially after the blockbuster that was Revengers and all the stuff that went in there last year. I feel like they really lacked. I mean, they added the letter T on Winston's name, and that was his. Brett was some beefcake, which I feel like, you know, with all the other diamonds that Brett has given them, they could have done better. I was overall underwhelmed.
Yeah.
What was Haley's? I'm
looking it up right now.
The Hamlet one.
She Haley was Slamlet.
Oh, nice.
Which sounds like sounds like an off-brand Denny's menu item.
Yeah. I'll take the Slamlet. Yeah.
A Slamlet is it's part of the Grand Slam.
Denny's. It's for like the kids. You can get the Slamlet.
Oh, that's so cute. Oh my God. Okay, let's call up Denny's after this and see if we can market this idea.
All right.
You know I have Denny's on speed dial. Let's face it. All right. So I'll go with my prediction for Haley here. I also had Haley making the jury. I said she would wear a costume. She would be a surprise beast in endurance comps. She would not be the first to hook up, but the first to get in a definitive showmance. I said her closest ally would be Sam. Whoops. I said her superhero name would be, quote, something to do with the costume she wears, girl.
God damn. Oh my God. Yeah. What? All right.
Mike, who, this is a new Mike we're seeing.
I know. I had a ghostwriter come in, I guess, and make these spells.
Apparently.
Oh, my God. I thought this was a slam dunk after Liana mentioned the Fessy thing. But I think after that last bit with the costume, I think, Mike, you're getting a point here. You're getting point number one.
Yes. All right. Good start. Good start. Much like Haley's game. But we'll see if it falls apart very soon if I get goo goo eyes for another prediction here. Speaking of which, let's move on to the man of the micro hour. Let's talk about Brett. I'll start with Brett here. So I had Brett going pre-jury. I said that Brett will be the first person to go shirtless. He'll be the person to campaign the most to be on the Bold and the Beautiful. He'll win at least one veto while he's on the block. Wow. I did not realize I get that. I said his closest ally would be Rachel. And I think his superhero name would be Captain Cyber or the Hack Slinging Slasher, parentheses, because he thinks people will be shipping him with others, end parentheses.
God, Mike, what the hell? All right, here's what I had for Brett. Although I did have him making jury, I thought he was going to be a total douche bro the entire season, and all of my predictions match that. So Twitter will unearth something offensive he said in the past, proving his cybersecurity skills aren't all that. He will be one half of a douche bro fight in the Big Brother house, but more Polly, less Matt Klein's. We'll have a confessional of him on premiere night saying how attractive Bailey is, and his comic... Yeah, I know. I'm blowing it.
It's because you want to ship B&B, Liana. I think it's just naturally part of your DNA.
Yeah.
Part of my subconscious, obviously. And then for comic book name idea, I put the Hacker Tracker. Which I also don't know what that means.
All like right, a trapper keeper.
Yeah, because he's super into office supplies.
Yeah, he's just a giant trapper keeper.
Yeah. Oh my God, school supplies, yes. Okay, Puya. So, obviously, who had the better prediction?
Liana, if you had to guess, I think you'd get it right. But let's go through them in depth. So, like you, Liana, I thought Brett was going to be our douche bro of the season. Definitely nothing he did preseason jumped off the page. Similar to how we all thought Winston was going to be an amazing winner, right? Mm-hmm. Where we were just off on it. Oh. I ended up loving Brett. But Mike, you get this point because of the shirtless thing, because of the winning the veto. Even though Rachel wasn't his closest ally, Rachel was in his alliance. I'll give you that. And both of you were off on the comic names, but I really can't fault you because these comic names were ridiculous. He was the Beefcake. So
yeah, and Mike. I can't remember. I think he's either on The Bold and the Beautiful or The Young and the Restless with Tyler. So yeah. That was a shot in the dark that I was able to connect on as well.
Seriously, that's amazing. Yeah, him and Tyler are apparently going to be on The Bold and the Beautiful. So congratulations, Mike.
Oh,
okay.
I'm really excited to see what that's going to be, just because like I feel like the BB people get like one or two lines in an episode. So maybe it'll be like Surf Bros, but I wonder what sort of like. Because I think, wasn't Josh like a caterer serving meatballs last year? So like, what reference do you think they're going to make? Could Brett be like, he'll be in like the clinic being like, I've got a case of anal lice. I don't know. You got to get rid of it, doctor.
Well, I had him pictured as Chippendale dancers, but that could have been a dream I had the other day.
of course.
Yeah, no, I think I definitely think it's going to be like more of the surfer bro like type. Just because Tyler, like, what else do you cast Tyler as? You know what I mean? Like, I know, right? It's a soap opera, so reality is maybe not a thing that they truly strive for. But still, I feel like you have to go with Tyler as the surfer bro.
I feel like Tyler will be some either a clown at a birthday party or a gardener or plumber or pizza delivery boy. That would be great for him. And then I do think
what soap operas are you watching that have pizza delivery men in them?
It's The Bold and the Beautiful. They've been going on forever. They're going to run out of ideas eventually.
I like his maybe he like truly finally lives up to his Carrot Top comparison that I think a lot of us had preseason.
My name's Turniphead. Here's some props.
And that's his one line. As long as he does like weird bug out eyes, then I'll be happy. Okay. All right.
All right. Let's go to Sammy. What'd you have to say, Leon, about Sam?
All right. Here comes me. All right. I had Sam making jury. And here's what I said. Although she'll never understand Big Brother, she will be a lovable character because she, she quote, brings her own sunshine. And she will also have amazing quotes. And then I have example. This is from her preseason content. Quote, you could be a preacher or a hairdresser, but hairdressers have more fun. Wholesome Sam. Okay, then I also said she'll just chill in the house, surviving on her good social game until she's a victim of the double eviction because she's an easy target. And then for her comic book name idea, I put Sammy the Solderer, like Rosie the Riveter, but she's a welder, so she solders.
Listen, you were actually pretty close, because wasn't she just the welder?
Oh, hooray. I'll take it.
So, yeah, I think this one's going in your corner, but we'll see. I had Sam also making the jury. I said that she'll get named by Julie as a top vote getter for AFP or AFH, but not get it. People will think she's not what she seems, like how they thought Kevin was a cop or Donnie was an army commando. And she'll win at least one mental competition. I said her closest ally would be Caitlin. Woof. And her superhero name would be Slamma Samma.
That's like very mayor of Slamtown-ish. Maybe she's the mayoress of Slamtown.
I'll curb stomp you, John Hannigan.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's perfect. I think that the Caitlin is her closest ally. You know, obviously, really killing it there.
Mm-hmm. Listen, this is when law of averages. I had to have one really bad prediction, so it's finally come back to me. What do you say, Puya?
Well, I love that that triangle of Caitlin, Haley, and Sam, you said they were all going to be each other's closest allies. So that was, that was a nice cookie to find here. I got to give it to Liana. I mean, Liana mentioned that she's never going to get Big Brother. Kudos, jury, kudos. Lovable character, big strike, but like some people love her, so I can't fault them for that. She did give us amazing quotes, not in a lovable way, but in a, oh my God, she might kill someone way. So that was fun too.
It's pretty much the same thing. Lovable, murderer, same thing.
Same. Yeah, and like your comic was closer, so Liana, you definitely get this one hands on.
Woot woot. Nice.
All right, let's go to Angela here so Puya can ask what's wrong with our Angela predictions. I'll start here. I had Angela making the jury. I said that she would become a perennial nominee in the initial stages of the game. I said the internet will coin her the resident mean girl of the season. I said she would try to get an all-girls alliance going at some point. I said she'll be the woman to win the most vetoes this season, which was definitely not true on that. I said her closest ally would be Casey, and I had her superhero name, the Pole Vaulting Pulverizer.
That's kind of fun. I like that, you know, Angela was a super good competitor. So I think, you know, it would have been like, oh, yeah, like she won a lot of comps. But just in a season where Casey literally tied the record.
Exists, yeah.
Yeah, it doesn't look as great. Okay, so I had Angela also making the jury. And I said she was going to be middle of the road character and personality. Out as second juror. Boring, oh so boring. And then her comic book name idea was the Vixen Vaulter, or Big Brother forgot to make her a comic because she's so boring.
That would be really interesting if she's like, you know how Fessy lost OTEP because he was running around looking for Rockstar's name when Rockstar was there the entire time? Like, imagine everyone looking for Angela, like, where is she? Oh, I guess they forgot to make a comic for her.
Yeah, one day they'll drop the ball and somebody just won't get one. I'd be okay with that.
This is close, gang. This really is close. I mean, you know, Mike, you nailed the head on the internet mean girl, although it was like the first half. By the second half, no one thought that anymore.
She's so lovable, and we love Tangela.
We love them.
Yes, we love them even more than Vegas, for sure. I don't know if that was possible, but like, I now genuflect to their altar.
Yeah, me too. They made me believe in love again, guys. It's important to me.
I love Vegas more, just to keep the, you know, gotta cover our bases, gang.
Yeah, gotta definitely do that. The pole vaulter stuff, also good. Liana, though, you did hit it home with the so boring. Although she did smell stuff, and that was pretty cool. So she has a heightened power of scent. So you were wrong there. I gotta give it to Mike.
Darn.
All right.
I will say, though, that smelling segment was like my favorite segment of Angela's, hands down. Have I talked about this already? I just love that segment so much.
It was the only segment.
Yeah. It was the only Angela segment. So yeah, it has to be your favorite.
Well, I mean, I don't know. You guys are such Tangela supporters. You would put that above Tyler and Angela's mutual secret that they love each other.
Oh, it gets crazy. We have the same secret.
Oh, man.
That's going to be Turnip Head's storyline in The Bold and the Beautiful. He's like, wait a minute. I got to stop my act. There's this beautiful woman in the audience. I have a secret. Do you know what it is?
Yeah. Oh, man. I was actually really sad when then he said in the diary room. Although I guess it was he said, I guess I'm in love. Or something like that. Very couched.
What a romantic.
No. She was the lampshade, Leona, not the couch.
Oh, right. Of course.
The couch won.
Yeah, the couch won. Okay. Yeah. We're not
to the couch yet, but let's go with quite an interesting character. Quite the opposite from furniture. Let's get to JC. So, Leona, how did you think JC, I wrote about this in my Parade article. I think he is by far, maybe since Josh, he's definitely defied preseason expectations across the board with the internet populace. But how did you feel JC was going to do preseason?
All right. So I said he was going to make the jury. He was going to be the first person to go streaking in the house. He was going to win the wall comp for sure.
Sam has a word with you because she's pissed off that he did not win the wall comp.
But at least we got that really great gif of him falling off, where he's still in the sort of starfish shape. That was truly wonderful. I also said that he was going to be a diary room yeller, and his comic book name was the Master of Minions.
when that was the most offensive thing about JC, right? Back in those salad days,
the good old days,
right before before JC was giving the house guests the opposite of salad. I also had JC making the jury. So it appears you and I were higher on him than I think a lot of the other people in the Big Brother populace. I said he would wear at least one costume where he's dressed up like a leprechaun or an elf. I said he'll get an entire segment about how nobody knows what he's saying, which I think ended up being multiple segments. Mm-hmm. I said he'll be part of a fake alliance that the other person has no intention of sticking to.
Oh, goddammit.
His closest ally will be Bailey. And his superhero name will be the Fancy Dancer and his minion.
Hold me closer, Fancy Dancer. All right, Booyah. Ugh.
I gotta say, Leona, coming into this, I thought this is another season of Mike just getting pummeled in predictions. But with this one, the fact that the fake alliance thing was there, the fact that no one knows what he's going to say was there, the Bailey thing, not really on par, but not going to fault you on that. And then the Fancy Dancer wouldn't have got it. But then you had the minions in there, too. So that negates Leona's costume. So, Mike, you win this one. And if I'm correct mathematically, you got 4. So you win.
Wow. I win the finale podcast. I don't remember how we were on the other predictions, but it feels good to get a rare victory once in a while. I feel like I'm JC beating the other three members of level 6 at the game they know so well.
Yes, well, this our B&B season had a better ending than Big Brother 20. Aw, I'm so sad. Well, that's all right. I think it was bound to happen. You know, statistically, obviously, you know, I threw it. I threw it.
You threw it. Yeah.
Oh, I threw it.
Yeah, don't do that. That's going to make some people very upset when they say in interviews that you threw things. I know firsthand.
This is I'm just pulling a page out of Scotty's book. This is my revisionist history of our predictions, for sure.
Yeah, I threw the predictions. Absolutely.
Yeah, guys.
It makes sense. It makes sense, Leon. It makes sense.
Because it totally makes sense. Totally makes sense. Makes so much sense.
All right, well let's go to Scotty's best friend here. Let's get to Tyler. I'll start with Tyler here because I was so close. I had Tyler as my winner pick. So close, wow. One vote away. I hear from that noise, Leona. I think I'm gonna make an assumption here that you also had Tyler as your winner pick.
Yeah, I also had Tyler as my winner pick. Oh, twinning nice. Again.
So we're twinstins.
Twinstins.
We're twinstins.
So we'll see who is more correct on our inaccurate predictions here. I said Tyler will get a non-crippling injury in the first half of the game. I said he'll have one shirt that becomes feed famous for wearing it for a significant amount of time without washing it, a la Judd's bear shirt. I said he'll get DQ'd from at least one challenge for not following the rules. I said his closest ally was Scotty, and his superhero name was the Rolling Tide.
Oh, okay, Roll Tide. So mine was, yeah, that was like sort of, but not really. And I think mine is so similar. So good luck, Puya. So I said that even though Tyler moves like an animatronic robot from Chuck E. Cheese, his calming presence will win over the house guests. He wins just enough comps to save himself and stay in control, but not enough to come off as a total comp beast. But then I said he'll have a mediocre strategic game because, quote, he fell off a pool slide when he was a kid and died, kinda. And for his comic book name idea, I put the Suave Surfer.
I like that.
So, Puya, what do you think?
I think his calming presence and winning enough comps, you got those two. Mediocre strategy probably is one of his stronger suits, actually. But then this is the Mike I know and love in this prediction. The non-crippling injury that he made up and the feed famous shirt. Like, you went all out, Mike. But this shows that you should stick with the basic stuff, because Liana gets this one from me.
Right. Yeah. See, Mike, too much detail. Got to be a basic bitch.
I mean, to be fair, I guess the close to the shirt was the bandanas he kept wearing, though I guess another house guest also wore them at the same time. Yeah. So that was like the one article of clothing he was famous for.
Well, and to be fair, he did not wear a shirt particularly often. Mm. So, you know, not enough for it to become iconic.
His skin became feed famous.
Thank you, Puya, for splitting straightened hairs, as it were. But let's get to it. Let's get to our winner chicken dinner here. Miss Casey Clark. Liana, how did you think Casey was going to do?
Okay. I said Casey was going to make jury, and she is going to sleep until jury. And she said preseason she would, quote, take her Derek to the end. So she will be a.k.a. stupid loyalty all season long, which will annoy the shit out of me.
Wow.
I know. And then for comic book name idea, I wrote something generic and stupid. I think I gave up at that point.
I think you just ran out of time or just mental energy at the end of it.
Yeah, screw it.
Yeah, you basically spent the equivalent of like 99 days in the house writing these for what it seems. You were just sitting around at the end like, I can't wait for this to be over. So yeah, I mean, this is going to be a W in your column no matter what, especially because I had Casey going pre-jury. I said she'll get the least amount of confessionals out of all house guests. I said she'll finish in the top two of at least one endurance comp. I guess if you count the final HOH part one, that makes sense. She'll get nominated as a pawn only to get blindsided. Her closest ally will be Angela, and her superhero name will be Gridiron Girl.
That's actually better than I think probably whatever they came up with her.
The health nut.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right. Well, you know, just to cap off this season, it kind of ended up being the same. Liana, you get this one, and you lose by 4-3. And you were probably the Goliath, but the David won. And woo! KC was the David, and Tyler was the Goliath. So congratulations, KC. I mean, Mike, you won this one.
Yeah, I got to pick the games that we were playing, the route that we took, and I was able to prevail. My Brett prediction was like solving a slide puzzle in 8 seconds.
Yes, truly are David and Bloom. Oh, man. Okay, well, let's move on from that because I lost, and let's move into something else that I was really terrible at, which were the superlatives. So yes. I went back and re-listened to the superlatives that we, Mike, you and I talked about at the very beginning of the season, and let's go through some of the answers that we put for our superlatives. So are you ready to be wrong some more?
Absolutely. Now, that was back in like during the naive days where you didn't even know what a group of baseball players were called.
Yes, exactly. What do you call a group of baseball players? Yes, I truly have learned so much over the course of the season. How to spell anal ice, how to climb a rock wall, how to say yatus. It's just
how
really
to get stuck on a rock wall.
How to come up with a really rousing song about my best friend and his micro penis. So truly an educational summer for us all. So let's cap this off by talking about our superlatives. So for most likely to misspell a word, Mike, you really knocked out of the park here. You said Brett. Which, for some reason, I feel like Analyze falls under that category.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, because we didn't get a spelling competition outside of that unscrambling hacker comp. So I guess that's the only thing we can go off of, right? Unless you count, like, JC just mismanaging pronunciations of words.
Right, exactly. No, it's misspelled, not mispronounced. But I said Fessy, so I'm really sad now that we didn't get the spelling competition. I really feel like I would have had that one.
Yeah.
Okay, harshest burn from Zingbot. I said Haley, which was she? Did she get a burn from Zingbot?
All right, let's go in here.
I don't even remember.
Just to make sure. They all got, you know, she was in the house when she did. Let's see. Haley got, you were so good at reading Hamlet, but the real Shakespearean tragedy was your HOH reign.
Yeah. All right. Well, I think I get this one. I'm, you know, this isn't a competition, but I'm making it one because Mike said Rachel and she didn't even get one. So I feel like
she got the worst burn from the comic book competition, considering that Dansasaur might be the most nonsensical comic book character I've seen in both in and out of Big Brother.
Yeah, that would make absolutely no sense. And of course, me trying to ascribe some meaning to it, spent so long trying to figure it out. I was like, now what does it mean? This is like, you know, the kid trying to write a book report on the sentence of like the door was red and the curtains were white, and they're like, all right, so what's the red door mean? When really there's like no meaning to it at all. Anyway, my life. Okay.
Yeah, it's Dantasaur, not Descartes, Liana.
Yeah, right, exactly. No one being hoisted by their own petard in this Big Brother season. So, okay, for wearing a costume.
Oh, wasn't that a costume someone had to wear? Who wants to see my petard?
Yeah, and then that becomes their comic book because we all know they like to play on the punishment comic book names. I think we have a lot of ideas, Mike. We really got to start writing these down. All right, so for wearing a costume, the petard costume, if you will, I said Swaggy C, but Mike, you said Rockstar, and I think she did get a punishment costume.
Yeah, and although I think was everyone else punished by having to wear Swaggy C shirts the entire season?
That's true, which I feel like then that's like super beta and counts for 5 points in this made-up game, so I'm like 20 points ahead now. Okay, most likely to bang pots and pans. Screw you, Mike! You said Rockstar!
Did I say Rockstar? Oh my gosh!
I hate you! And guess who
nailed
I said?
It.
Steve! I don't even think Steve was around the pots and pans of the house because he was out so quick. Like, gosh darn it, me.
Yeah, Liana, your reasoning was that you thought he would do it in a way to try and get baths and like be pissed about not getting baths. That's what your reasoning was. I listened to this podcast. It was
so
interesting.
Logical.
Also, before you move forward, this is also around the same part in the podcast where Mike pitched this idea that he's got, I hope, patented by now. The smart colanders comes up here.
That's right. Again, added to the long list of great ideas from the B&B. Oh, man. Okay. Most likely to be a bitter juror. Mike, you said Caitlin, and I said Bailey. So I feel like I get the win there because Bailey was
definitely
at least on the jury.
Yes, by a slim margin. No, and I also think some could argue that, like, oh, it was, you know, some people say, oh, it was Bailey's vote that, you know, won case of the game, much like they say it was Cody that won Paul's vote. So I think there's an argument in there, too. It holds water in that smart colander.
Yeah, exactly. Doesn't flow through the holes. Okay, most likely to pander to the cameras, which I don't think we saw a lot of camera pandering. I don't know if that was because Big Brother would cut away if anybody ever tried to do it, but
I mean, do we count like the pin wall where they're putting their Instagram handles?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think that totally counts. Well, then, Mike, you might get this one because you said Fessy, and I know he did put up some Fessy fitness things up there. I said,
and he also shattered it out. He shattered it out in his eviction speech as well.
Exactly. He's got those bracelets. I said Angela. For some reason.
Oh, she has an Etsy store.
Oh, yes, that's right.
Yeah, that was your reason for business.
Yeah, well, that's too bad. That was really a missed opportunity, Angela. She should have done more about the Etsy business.
I don't know if she was able to craft a love for herself in the course of the game. Isn't that the best craft of all? Sam, don't listen to that part, by the way.
True, a true artisan, being able to build up love within the Big Brother house. All right, so most likely to eat cereal and be purple. We both said Winston. Although, Mike, you did add KC, of course, because apparently Mike had a hit before the season started and really was able to predict all of these.
I can't imagine Winston being purple and eating cereal. I cannot imagine him just eating cereal calmly.
Oh, no.
Yeah, no.
Considering, I can't remember whose eviction it was, but when he was just like angrily drinking coffee in the kitchen and he just looked so mad. Oh my God.
My rice checks are soggy.
Yeah. There's no Fruit Loops. Okay. And then finally, most likely to be a DR Yeller. I said Haley and Bailey. I don't know if this is me just like sort of covering my bases. I was like, if I say everyone, it'll be okay. And Mike, you said JC.
Oh, so I went off of your prediction for JC.
Yeah, I know. I'm not even consistent. Again, maybe just trying to cover my bases. But yeah, so those were our predictions. Some spot on, like most likely to bang pots and pans. Some not so spot on, like most likely to bang pots and pans. But all around, a lot of fun to look back and see how terrible we were.
Oh, fantastic. Well, let's finish up our like requisite stuff on the BNB here. Liana, did you have any BB BNC breaking news coverage from our post finale shenanigans to sort of wrap up Big Brother 20?
Yeah, so, one, I had Tyler and Brett were going to be on The Bold and the Beautiful. So, obviously, if you're interested, look out for that. The one thing, though, I did want to mention, and this is super bizarre, but I'm going to describe what happened. So, as soon as the contestants were out of the Big Brother house, they're obviously given their phones back. And Fessy was responding to a comment on his Instagram page. It was a Haley Stan account. And Fessy responded, "Haley, pick up my call. We're at Denny's."
Oh no! He's like, "Oh, I'm gonna eat your slamlet's getting
I'm
cold.
I'm getting the slamlet.
Your slamlet's getting cold." So I think he thought it was really Haley. So then somebody was like, "Fessy, that isn't Haley." And then that Stan account was like, "Fessy, I'm not Haley." So one final gem.
Oh my God, he's gonna be in for a world of hurt if he gets duped by one fan account. Considering how many fan accounts are out there in the Big Brother community, he's gonna be like, "Tyler, why are you saying these things?"
Yeah, exactly. So he's got some lessons to learn. I saw this on Reddit, so credit to Reddit. Nope.
But
the top comment was, "If it walks like a Haley and tweets like a Haley, then it's gotta be a Haley." Truly beautiful. Thank you, Ice Cold Goat, for that wonderful
that
comment.
Is delightful. Fessy just entertaining, in my opinion, from beginning to end. And he's really been the star of the BB BNC with all the Fessy fitness stuff. So I'm excited to see what he does outside of the house. I think he was also able to poke fun at himself, though. I remember, wasn't there a picture of like Level 6 plus Caitlyn, and Fessy said like, "Caitlyn, you flipped."
Yeah, and he was, you know, at the party, the rap party, he was there, and there was some videos of, you know, somebody yelling, "Fessy, who flipped?" And he was like, I don't know who flipped,
tell me.
So, which I think, you know, we saw when he got evicted, like he seems to have a really good sense of humor about himself and about all their mess ups and screw ups. So I think it's gonna be exciting to see what happens with the future of Fessy fitness. I'm gonna be keeping a close eye on that, but in terms of everything I have right now, that's all I got for the RHAP BB BNB BNC.
Puya, we've got, we're recording this actually on the big reality TV bash weekend in Vegas, which features most of the Big Brother 20 cast. Do you have any bold predictions as to how things are going to go for the cast that literally just left the house in the Sin City?
Do you have any beautiful predictions of what's going to happen for the cast?
All right, so... Okay. Bold predictions. I think one of them will lose their phone. Someone's losing a phone. This trip is not going to go by without someone having to get a whole new phone altogether. And if I have to put money on it, I'm going to put it on JC losing his phone. And then as far as beautiful predictions, Tyler and Angela are going to light up the entire city.
Okay, cool it with your Tangela boner. All right.
Hey, it's not mine. We're share. It's a collective share. We all love them.
Yeah, we all have a collective boner.
Yeah.
I was trying to figure out a portmanteau for Tangela and boner, but it's not coming right now. Oh, no.
Tangeloner.
Toner.
Angeloner. Oh man, yeah.
Tangeloner sounds like a bad like off brand fruit that you get like in the back corner of the store.
With your slamlet, you can get a side of Tangeloner.
Tangeloner, I don't know if I trust that. It's pretty. It's not in season at all. Season just ended. Well, we couldn't do a BNC without doing one last visit to our corner of fan fiction. So I have one more little piece of fan fiction, because Puya, you wouldn't be able to appear on the BNB without getting to hear some. This is one by Hecking Rad that I saw a couple of weeks ago when I was preparing for the previous one we did with Ali Lasher. But I actually found it applies much more here, because this is called Flooded Thoughts, and it's a cross romance between Bailey and Tyler. And I feel like, considering the way things turned out, Puya, it's very apt for this occasion.
Hit me with it, man. I completely forgot this was going to happen, so I'm equally excited and terrified.
Happy to have an hashtag shocker for you here on the B&B finale. All right, here we go. Bailey lied in her HOH bed, staring up at the ceiling, thinking of how this week was going to go. The hive was dwindling down fast. First Swaggy, then Caitlin, Rockstar, Fessel, and Scotty. Okay, so I guess this is an alternate universe in more ways than one, where Bailey was the one who survived at the Hive massacre, and now it was only her and Haley battling for the Big Brother crown, and with Bailey as reigning HOH, they can make a game-altering decision. There was no question about who should be her target. It should be the main leader of the other side of the house, Tyler. The only one in the house winning comps left and right. The only one in the house playing an obvious puppet master. The only one in the house that everyone could agree would most likely win the Big Brother crown. But something in her wouldn't let her make that move. What was it? Why was it there? She knew what move she had to make to win, but she couldn't let herself do that. For the past few weeks, she and Tyler had grown closer. After Swaggy had ruined her name in the house the week he left, Tyler was right by her side, comforting her. Swaggy had tried bragging to the whole house about how, quote-unquote, easy she was and how, quote-unquote, good she was in bed. Of course, none of that was true. She and Swaggy had only kissed once the night he got evicted. She was distraught and confused, and Tyler was right by her side, stroking her back and whispering comforting words into her ear. While she'll never know why Tyler comforted her that day, she does know that it changed her outlook on him completely. Ever since then, they had gotten insanely close. They did almost everything together. They would swim together, spend countless hours talking, sleep in the same bed, and hell, sometimes they would eat off the same plate. Considering what I heard about like Bailey's story with Brett and the burrito, isn't that something that she likes to do? It's just like sniff and take other people's food. She just knew that he was her best friend in the house. Everyone could tell. Everyone pointed it out. And sure, maybe there were stronger feelings for him than she let on. Maybe there was something romantic hidden behind the scenes. But she knew that it would never happen. Tyler was focused on the game. His mind was dead set on that $500,000, and nothing she could do would change that. Tyler wasn't just a player. He came to win, and with every competition, it only got clearer. He wasn't there to mess around to get into a showmance. He wasn't there for her. Who knows how long she laid in that bed? Who knows how long she thought about her nominations? She just knows that every thought she could have about the game always came around to Tyler. Just Tyler. Bailey's eyes flashed open, losing her train of thought, as she looked towards the screen that showed the front of her HOH room door. And there, as one would guess, was the boy himself, Tyler Crispin. Bailey rolled herself off the bed and fixed the wrinkle in her shirt. Walking towards the door and opening it, her heart beat lightly against her chest as she opened to reveal the curly-haired boy. Her heart fluttered for him. "Hey, Bay," he said as she greeted him and moved aside to let her in. "Just came to hang out. Things are going wild out there." He sat on the bed, leaning against the headboard, and watched Bailey as she closed the door. "What do you mean?" as she cocked her head to the side and asked him, sitting on the bed next to him. "You know," he said as she leaned her head on his shoulder, his head on top of hers. "JC just being generally annoying." "Oh, God, what do you do now?" she laughed. Everybody in the house disliked JC, especially after what he did to Tyler and Haley. Tyler brushed his hand against hers on their knees as he spoke to her, making her heart beat harder in her chest. "Oh, you know, eating hot food and ice cream, even though he's a have-not, and getting mad when people call him out for it." Bailey rolled her eyes and laughed. Fucking JC, I swear. I just want him gone at this point. She could feel Tyler race his head off hers and turn his head towards her as he asked, "How you doing with noms? You're not stressing out, right?" Bailey closed her eyes and sighed as she lifted her head off of his and put it into her hands as she sat up from her position laying against the headboard. I don't know, Ty. I know I want JC out, but him being out doesn't benefit my game at all. I know I should be targeting someone big like Angela, but I know you're allied with her. And I would put her up as a pawn, but I know that she'd take it the wrong way and probably put me up when she gets HOH. Tyler put his hand on her back and rubbed it up and down as she continued. And like, I would consider putting you up as a pawn since I know you wouldn't target me and you would most likely not go home. But if you did, I would be so distraught and like confused. And she let out a heavy groan, rubbing her face, stressed. Tyler slung his arm over her shoulder and hugged her close to his chest, pulling the two back to lay down their heads on the pillows. Her head in his chest and his arm around her neck, rubbing her shoulder with his thumb. "Please don't stress yourself out over this. Everything's gonna be okay, bae. You can trust me. If you want me to talk to Angela about her being a pawn, I will," he said in a soft voice. She could feel the genuinity in his voice. It lulled her in more and more the more they talked. She looked up at him with a gentle smile and smiled back in the same sweet way. I would really appreciate that, Ty," she said as she buried her face into his chest and hugged him closer to her. She always felt safe around him. She knew she could go to him for anything and everything. He was her ride or die, her number one. Not even Haley, her last alliance member, was above Tyler. She trusted Tyler with not only her game, but her life as well. You think Tyler would think the same, right? You would be right. Tyler never thought he would ever meet someone like Bailey. All his life, girls would play him. They would use him for a few months and then drop him like he was nothing. Girls would use him as rebounds. They would cheat on him. They would mentally abuse him. Over the years, he made himself believe he wasn't worth being loved. Being in the Big Brother house didn't help that. The whole game is about lying and playing others. He told himself nobody could be his friend, let alone a romantic partner. But Bailey was different. Bailey made him feel safe, genuinely safe. He felt like she was someone he wanted to take with him his entire life. He wanted her to be his. His heart pounded as he held her close to him, his face probably flushing red. He was smitten for her, and he dreamed how she felt that she felt the same for him. They would brush hands, share beds, and cuddle all the time. There was no way he could not feel these feelings for her. She was genuine and made Tyler feel loved and safe. He couldn't help how he felt for her. He wanted her to stay, and as much as he wanted to win Big Brother Season 20, he was rooting for Bailey 100% of the time. She was worth so much more than half a million. In his eyes, she was priceless. She deserved the world and so much more. As he lied there with her, he felt like he was back home. It was familiar and warm, and he wanted to stay there forever. He didn't want a showmance with her. He wanted something real, something genuine. Something like that was rare in the Big Brother show. With everything that has happened in his romantic life, he really hoped that if anything happened between Bailey and him, it would be real and forever. So they both lie there with pounding hearts and flooded minds, wondering if the other felt the same.
Is that it? Is that the end?
That's the end.
Oh.
Cliffhanger.
I know. Will I was they or like, won't they? But now what?
Yeah, I've got literary blue balls.
I think this is a medical term for that. You should listen to the Dr.
Yeah, listen
Mike.
To Dr. Mike.
Yeah.
Mike. Yeah, this was a passionate one.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, I'm confused. What did JC do to Tyler and Haley?
I don't know. Food. I think that's room for a sequel. I think we get a prequel as to what happened with Tyler and Haley. That I don't know if JC was trying to get between them like he did with Tyler and Angela, or it might be doing with Tyler and Bailey. But yeah, that's something that goes unspoken of, apparently.
Hmm. Also, I think the author should consider pitching this to MasterCard. She's priceless. That was the first thing that popped in my head.
3 HOH wins, $70. America's favorite prize, $25,000. Spooning with Bailey, priceless.
Yeah, I will say that that accent, the impression, real good, Mike. I think one of your best.
Yeah.
better than the Scotty versus Brett?
Man, no, I don't know nothing about that. It did start to morph into a Brett one, though, kind of.
Yeah, I was going to say that. That was my thing, was at points it sounded like Brett. At points it sounded like that drunk yelling guy from The Simpsons. So it was a little bit of everything. So it was a bit of a treat.
Which, are you talking about drunk Barney?
Yeah, Barney. Yes, that's the one.
I'm Bill Bailey. I love you.
That didn't sound like Barney.
That's what I got.
Oh, man. All right. That's a fun comparison. Well, hopefully
we'll have, if not Survivor fan fiction, definitely some more Big Brother fan fiction to dip into in future B&B so we can do more cross comparisons as to what my voices sound like. But thank you to Hecking Rad for giving me permission to read this, as well as all the other fan fiction writers for giving us plenty to pour through. Again, this is a part of the Big Brother fan community I did not know existed up until doing this B&B, and it has been a delight to read them. Hopefully as much of a delight for you to listen to them.
Yes. Okay. Sorry. I was still thinking about the story. All right, Mike, sue me.
Well, actually, before we move on, I do want to speak not about Tyler and Bailey, but I will say, you know, I was happy to talk with the final three the day after everything happened. I think what I was genuinely most surprised with Tyler was not only how, you know, sincere he was about, like, you know, the mistakes he made in the game, but, you know, Taryn makes this point that Tyler sort of played on people's emotions rather than their logic. And I think that's just because, from what I perceived, Tyler is a very emotional person, to the point of where, as we sort of alluded to before, he told me that not only did he throw the final four veto, but if he was in the final three with Casey and Angela, he would throw the final HOH because he wouldn't want to make a decision between, you know, his best friend and his showmance, which, again, I don't know if that speaks towards necessarily his strategic acumen, but I at least was a bit surprised as to how, you know, outwardly emotional Tyler admitted he played his game. Pooja, what do you feel about that?
I feel like I'm not really shocked, to be honest. You just pointed, highlighted it, and we've seen him do it all season, where he is a guy who feels. And the reason others felt close to him or felt like they could trust him was because he emanates that. That's what people get from him. Also, for me, the other added factor is maybe this is another one of those things where if this season, because, you know, we talk about how being in the Big Brother house with people, these relationships are you're getting closer and closer to people by the second. You're with them literally every second of every day. So if it was 3 weeks shorter, would he be feeling the same way? I don't know. Maybe, most likely. But that's another factor for me that I would have to consider, is that that's 3 extra weeks with less people and less game on his mind and more just, you know, farming these relationships and getting closer with Angela, getting closer with Casey. Like, we made it all the way this far. He's an emotional guy. I understand him from that point. I feel like I'm kind of similar in that sense. But ultimately, I can't really fault him because he got trapped into this thing that he had made. He got close to these people for game, ended up being more than game to him.
I mean, I think that I agree. I co-sign. I think that totally makes sense. I think that he is just inherent in his, like, inherently his personality is one that is so emotional. And so the fact that he sort of played an emotional game, I mean, I think there are so few people that can play a different game than who they actually are as people, you know? Mm-hmm. I mean, I think that, and that's why, like, a lot of the strong players are a little bit more cutthroat in their own personalities also. And so I think for him, like, his strength was the emotional game, but then he sort of lacks this ability to then step back and think strategically and put emotion to the side because he's just so entrenched in how he feels. And I think that's why, you know, you couldn't see him maybe make some of the harder decisions or cut people at certain places. And that's why, you know, we talk about, oh, why did he take Casey so long? Well, I mean, then now it kind of makes sense, right? He was just so emotionally tied to her that he could never make that cut, even though we all wanted him to. And we saw him as a strategic player. Really, he was more of an emotional player.
I thought it was interesting just because, you know, when Dan tweeted out right after the finale of, like, oh, you know, the Machiavellian strategy based players, you know, that they're not able to win Big Brother anymore. I feel like that's a different conversation. But I feel like from what we're saying, I don't think you can put Tyler in that boat. You know, I feel like he made moves, but I feel like it's a different category than, you know, Triple D, Dan, Dr. Will, and Derek were doing, which was a bit more, you know, social manipulation than Tyler, who just seemed like he genuinely got along with everybody and was able to utilize that.
Triple D.
Yeah, it's one of those, because that's the thing with Tyler, too. It's like, when you get close to people like that, it burns more. It hurts more. Like, we're talking about how, you know, the Liana mentioned, like, the more cutthroat people, you see them, there's like, they're just game. It's all game. If Tyler stands up there and is like, it was all game, they're not going to feel that way because of the close, like, connections he's made. And then also, these are not just game moves for him, because obviously he felt close enough to Casey and Angela that he just couldn't put himself in a Sophie's Choice situation where he had to pick one of them. He couldn't do it. He couldn't stand up there, look them in the eye, and do that. So I don't think he's in the same league in that sense.
I'm getting comparisons to, like, the mom archetype, right? Where it's like emotional connections, and you use those emotional connections, you know, they're genuine, but you still have to play the game. This is just the sort of surfer bro male version of that archetype, I think. Which now, actually, that's super cool to think about it, right? Because now it's, how do we, oh my God, do we think that we, okay, sorry, I'm having lots of thoughts that are all happening at once, and it's kind of like a fireworks explosion in my brain. Okay, so do we think that as a community, like, which game do we say we value more? I feel like I hear people talking more about, oh, like, how good Tyler's game is, but, like, what if it is super similar to, you know, the sort of, like, mom archetype game? But we're not valuing them because of gender inequality and disparities. Oh my God, wow. I feel so woke right now.
No, so woke. Jesse from Big Brother Canada 6 is smiling right now for no particular reason. I think that it's a really good point. I feel like it's a conversation that can definitely be had as to, like, the degrees of a social game, because I feel like what you're saying, Liana, sort of speaks towards that there's a gradient of, you know, the way you play with the relationships you're making with people. And, you know, it's a sword that cuts both ways. And I talked about this with Tyler in my interview as well, that, like, you make these bonds with people which help further you in the game. But at the same time, the closer you get with a person, the harder it's going to be when you cut them, to have them then turn back around and say, like, nope, you know what? Good game. And Tyler was able to do that with a couple people. You know, he was able to do that with someone like Brett. He was able to do it to a certain degree with someone like Haley. But it seemed like, for the most part, other people, Scotty in particular, who it seemed like was someone that a lot of people were confused on with his jury vote, that definitely cut him. That, you know, he felt gutted by the fact that he felt extremely close to Tyler, and that it was an injustice that his friend ended up cutting him without at least giving him a forethought as to warning him, or, you know, basically saying, like, you saved your game instead of our relationship, which is a really obtuse way of looking at it. But I do feel like, when it comes to perceptions and the way people are received in comparison to their social game, there is something about, like, you know, maybe something as well about if Tyler was perceived as this big recruit, do some super fans feel like, oh, I got blindsided by this guy who hasn't even seen Big Brother. Do I want to give them the money?
Well, and I think also part of it when we talk about jury management is, like, being able to assess what type of person you're sending to the jury and how they're going to vote and how they're going to behave. So, you know, we talk about, like, oh, the best time to explain your game is in the goodbye messages. But that may not be applicable to every single person, right? A Scotty is going to vote for very different reasons than a Brett. And so being able to sort of, as a player, you have to break down how these people are going to vote and how they're going to vote differently and how you can then, you know, appeal to them for your game, right? I mean, your game is your game, but how do you sell it? What's the narrative that you craft that you send them off to the jury house with? And obviously it can be tainted by the other jury members, but I think it's just, like, an important part of the conversation that not all jury members are the same and you have to treat them all differently. Oh my God. Wow. Like, meaningful discussion and happening in the RHAP B&B. Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. And the thing with Tyler too, is that we saw him try, guys. We did see him try to jump out of that shell and seem more cutthroat when he says in his goodbye message to Scotty, go tell your friends I had the second power up, which, like, the power up, the fact that he thought it was so important, it was just funny for me to keep watching that. And then also the whole one step ahead, two steps ahead, these, not only to me, I feel like to the audience, felt very inauthentic to what we had seen, but perception is 9/10 of this game. He's sending them out seemingly like everyone kind of, like, you know, cuddly mama bear type, you know, everyone feels comfortable with him, confides in him, and then he does those things which don't stick. So it's one of those things where it's like he's watched the show, he knows the greats, he knows what he needs to do, he's trying to give us, you know, showmanship, good TV. But I feel like if someone like Brett was the one who was doing the one step ahead, two step ahead, that would have fit his character perfectly.
I think it's about, and I think this also segues into a bit of, like, why, how Casey won, is because I think authenticity and sticking to, like, what your perception is a good example of it as well. And there are certain ways. The winner of Australian Survivor 2016 is a person who can, in the final turn, say, like, you thought I was this, but I'm actually this. But like you said, Casey was, quote unquote, herself the entire time. She always approached people in the same way. You sort of always knew how she would behave. And as a result, like, you always sort of knew where she lied, either one side or the other, as opposed to, like you said, Pooya, when you have Tyler try to sort of rise above his image and do these other things, it comes across as almost inauthentic. And it comes across as you know, phony, by not, maybe phony is too extreme of a term, but it's saying, like, I knew he was this, and now you're behaving like this. This leaves me very confused, as opposed to someone like Casey, who was very straightforward, and that worked for her because everyone sort of said, yep, that's Casey. Good old reliable Casey. I'll give her my vote.
Yeah, well, I actually had a friend over for the premiere or the finale, and we were talking about this because, you know, we always talk about, like, oh, if the Philip Shepherd or, you know, let's say, like, the crazy kook character gets to the end and then is like, all of a sudden, well, actually, I was playing all of you. I feel like the jury's just going to be more confused. So, and then they're not going to vote for you. Like, I really don't think that that's a strategy to win. So sort of, Mike, to your point, is of just like, you got to just be authentic and be who you are and maybe like ride that all the way to the end. And any sort of like deviation trying to explain your game, at least especially with the way the jury formatting is now, is just not possible to explain. So, you know, it's like better safe than sorry. Just stick to who you are.
Yeah, well, that's
a caricature, I guess, of you.
Well, compared to someone like Andy, who also was like, he was in a similar spot with Tyler, where like everyone seemed to be good with him at some point in time. And I feel like he was able to couch his thoughts in a way to say, like, hey, I'm sorry I had to get rid of you, but it was for the betterment of my game. But he did it in such a way that everyone was like, okay, that makes sense. You know, that's not exactly going outside of the Andy we know and love. Now, granted, it also depends on who he's sitting next to as well by comparison. But I feel like if you want a good example of someone who is also able to really, you know, ride that social game workhorse, but also able to turn it around a bit, but while still holding the reins and say, okay, now I'm going to use this to sort of build a good case for myself at the end. That's a great example of it.
Yeah, but I think also, you know, one thing that Andy didn't have that Tyler did is Tyler had that like sort of dumb surfer bro perception, where I feel like Andy was never perceived as dumb. So then when Andy makes a move that's in his best interest, it's like, oh yeah, okay, I can see it. Whereas, you know, when Tyler took out Brett, like, JC was like, why are you so stupid? You know, so I don't know if that was like the perception of like, oh, Tyler just messed up, or Tyler, you know, didn't really know what he was doing and they couldn't take him seriously, even if he did try to explain. So I don't know. It's difficult. It's a little bit minutia, but still, yeah. Okay. Whew. All right. All that serious discussion. Let's move in to something, another corner, if you will. The casuals.
Yeah, we got so many corners in this room right now.
Well, we're only allowed to have four unless we somehow can get to the ceiling, and then I guess we'll have eight. But okay, so we are going to tap into Casuals Corner one more time to get the casuals' opinion on the season. And here's what I will say. The Big Brother casuals are way less fun than the Survivor casuals, because the Big Brother casuals are like, I found myself agreeing. I was like, I want to like these comments, but like, where are the ridiculous comments? But I still think it's going to be a lot of fun because I was able to pull some different perspectives. And so the format for this casuals corner is going to be which one had more likes. So I'm going to read two comments that were on the Big Brother Facebook page. And you have to tell me which one had more likes. Okay, so Pooya, we will start with you for this first question. And this is the opinions on the winner. So A, why are people so upset that Casey won? She was a beast at competitions. She didn't have to get her hands dirty, and she knew it. Tyler wanted to be making deals left and right, pulling strings all around him, so he got tangled up at the end. Or B, CBS, you cost Tyler the game. You rushed everything so Swaggy could have more TV time. Tonight wasn't about him. It was about the final three, then two, then the winner. Tyler's speech at the end was rushed and cut off after Casey had to give her whole speech. Good job, CBS. Palm face emoji, thumbs up emoji. So Pooya, which comment had more likes? A or B?
Likes, you mean also reactions, angry, sad, whatever?
I didn't actually look through, but I picked comments that had like, heart, or laugh face emoji.
Okay.
So positive total. Responses, I guess. But yes, it is total.
Okay. It is illusion to think that these casuals would really want to give the likes to KC. I think they'd be giving more likes to the Tyler thing. So I'm going to go with B.
That is correct. So in comparison, the first post had one like. And the second post had 1,100 likes.
Wow.
Yeah. So KC did have her advocates, but every comment about KC was couched with, Tyler played a great game, but I'm really happy KC won. So, you know, it was like a lot of that. So it was hard to find one that was like just pure positive for KC because immediately not a liked opinion.
I liked A, though, because I feel like it would have been better, though, if he said instead of Tyler getting tangled up at the end, you could say Tyler got tangled up at the end.
Up at the end. Yeah. Okay, Mike, this question is for you. So this is about the format of the finale. A, worst finale ever. Took the attention away from people fighting for the win. B, bad finale. We should have to boot Allison. Poor finale, poorly scripted, produced, etc.
All right, so I have worst finale ever, to quote another Simpsons character that I'm apparently doing impressions of now, and bad finale, as if they're scolding the finale. I mean, B sounds alluring because it has so many fun statements in there, like boot Allison and poor finale. But I'm going to go with A because it's simpler.
Yes, that was correct. A had 143 likes, B only had 2. But overall, finale was widely despised. So this is why I have hope that if the Facebook casuals are complaining, like maybe we will get some change, but we'll see.
Maybe.
Okay, Puya, this question is for you. So this is overall impressions on the season. A, okay. This season was weak, .. We need people who aren't afraid day one to call people out, .. No backdoor crap. Or B, I think this was the best group of house guests since Jeff and Jordan's. It was interesting all the time.
Wow, BB11 fan.
Yeah. Okay, would you rather pick option A or option B? I want to go with B. I don't think the top one's going to get that much hate. I think B. I think JJo gets it.
Yeah, that's actually correct. That one had 61 likes compared to A, which only had 6.
What did you guys think, by the way, about Jeff crashing the brunch to be like, you guys don't know how to adjudicate a brunch. I'm going to do it for you.
I think this point was actually made by Rob. Like, I liked it more because it felt more natural. Like, it felt like they were telling Jeff the story of the season, right? Yeah. Versus them just being like, hey, guys, do you remember when this happened? I think maybe you could pick somebody else. Although a lot of people like Jeff, obviously, given comment B, that this was the best group of house guests since Jeff and Jordan. So what do I know?
I'm just so happy I got a new piece of vocabulary in my lexicon now with Tiki Tiki. I had no idea that was a thing. Now I'm going to say it all the time.
That's good. I got to remember to use that. Tiki Tiki
in the house.
Okay. So our next question, this is for Mike. This is for the format of next season. A, BB21 should be a house full of bitter jurors from over the years. Or B, I would love an all-star season, but with all second runner-ups playing.
Wow, these are both extremely specific. Yeah, third placers or extremely bitter jurors.
Yeah, so I love the second one because it's like Victoria versus JC versus Vanessa. Spencer. Like, yeah, like, oh my God.
Versus Christmas.
Exactly, what a chaotic season.
Though you do have some interesting third play. You got Diane Henry in there. You've got Janelle 2 times. They'll have to clone her.
Enzo.
You got Big Sheila. You've got Jerry.
See? Isn't? And I feel like every time Dan Giesling posts something, it's always like, yep, Jerry's ready to play again. So if they want to do it, I think this is an option.
So by that logic, I feel like it might be A.
Oh, no, actually, no. It was B. A actually got 0 likes, whereas B got 9.
Wow, so, bitter people on the Facebook page didn't want to like the bitter juror season.
Yeah, no. Although they were acclaiming bitter jurors. So, you know, obviously they don't like them. So obviously they're not going to upvote or something like that.
Who would be on the bitter juror season? So I guess if we're like, if the BB movie posters are any indication, I guess you get like the entirety of the BB19 jury. Yeah. They'll make up half the house. And then who would be in the other half of the house?
Vanessa.
I feel like, yeah, Vanessa definitely falls under that
category. You could put Jocasta in there. Mm-hmm, yeah. I'm trying to think about who else. You could put some of the BB14 people in there.
Yeah.
I mean, Sam, obviously, from this season.
Scotty.
Scotty. Oh, God. Equally a disaster. All right. I veto both of these. If anyone from production.
Nope. It'll be the best season since Jeff and Jordan. Best cast.
Of course. Yeah.
Best.
Okay. So, Puya, this question is for you. This is about Rockstar. A.
Yes.
All that matters to me is that neither Bailey nor Rockstar won a dime. Or B. How dare they show highlights 2 months after Rockstar's daughter's birthday?
Now, if this was a game of which one did you write, I feel like that's an easy indicator.
Yeah. Dead giveaway. See, this is interesting because I feel like I should say the second one. The second one is runaway miles ahead. And it's an in-joke. People love their in-jokes. The Facebook, we found out the casuals love that joke to death. But I think you're trying to fool me. So I'm going to go with A, because people were pissed at Bailey, too, for the proposal stuff.
That is correct. That comment had 445 likes.
Oh, my God.
Boy. Yeah, compared to only 3.
it's understandable, but I don't think the proposal was Bailey's fault. I think it was.
No.
Swaggy. And look, also given that everything that happened, you know, to Bailey and Swaggy, which was revealed yesterday, that don't know, and actually the speculation / sort of joking about there being a BB pregnancy was confirmed when it turned out that Bailey was pregnant, but she miscarried in the jury house, which is absolutely horrific. My heart goes out to both of them. At the same time, I'm a bit torn because the proposal was a little fame whore-y, but at the same time, it was a horrible situation.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. It's like one of those, like, oh, God, I want to make a joke so bad, but I know I can't because, like, what happened was horrible.
Yeah, when I saw that video yesterday, it was kind of one of those moments where I was like, damn, this got real. Like, they had to, and I thought about, you know, how much stuff they had to have dealt with. The fact that Bailey ended up getting all her friends one by one in the jury house must have helped her a lot. So I'm glad she had the support that she wanted there. So that worked out well. The fact that, so another thing I saw was that she found out about her pregnancy the day before the house meeting that she blew up on with Tyler. So that kind of changed that for me. I was like, oh no, like that's brutal. So all in all, it was just a shock to hear. I'm glad they have each other. You know, I hope nothing but happiness for them. Ultimately, I do have to say that proposal was straight up like, I'm going to steal the spotlight because, you know, Swaggy didn't even do a decent job at it. You know, no offense, proposals are beautiful, but like it did come off like he's been planning this and it did come off a little cue cardy.
Wait, how did he do a bad job? What was he supposed to do?
No, because his way of like, I have something to say and I'm going to stand up for it. And I was like, why is it coming off? Like, it should be more natural is what I think.
I liked Angela being like, is this a proposal?
Yeah.
Is it? Yeah.
JC's face was also so good.
Fessy's too.
Because JC is just like, confused, slightly disgusted, and then
does a real face palm. I also love Brett's, who's just staring mouth agape at it. Fessy is just like looking at him like, what? In true Fessy fashion. So like with all the news, it's absolutely horrifying and my heart goes out to them. But if you want to look up screenshots and GIFs from the actual proposal reveal, it's kind of fantastic.
It's pretty funny.
It's great.
All right. So let's move on to our final question. Mike, this is for you. Puya has won the game, but we'll let you take a final stab at this last question. So this is about Paul.
Of course.
What?
Yeah. Okay. Hey. They did Tyler just like they did Paul. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji. But I liked Paul more. Glad Casey won, dot, 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 but oh well, dot, 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 now it's hashtag Survivor time. Or B, there's this lady named Karma, and she came back to bite Tyler just like she did old friendship guy.
Old friendship guy!
That should have been his BB comic.
Yeah, well, I'm sure he would have preferred anything to potty mouth, so.
Yeah, right. It's a game for entertainment purposes only, dot, dot, but hurt much? Question mark, question mark.
Well, I'm wondering if talking about a lady called Karma, is that actually Caitlyn's old boyfriend, Joe? Because didn't he write Karma in the song?
Okay, so this is where my mind went. I was reading comments and I was like, oh my God, somebody just quoted Air Atlantica. I got to pull it. And then I was like, read it more and I was like, oh no.
I don't think so.
But I liked old friendship guy, so I pulled it anyway.
See, I really like B too, but I don't know if A is more generic. And I wonder if they would go with the more generic opinion. Can you read it one more time?
Yeah, they did Tyler just like they did Paul. Laugh emoji, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji, cry face, laugh emoji. But I liked Paul more. Glad Casey won, dot, 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 but oh well, dot, dot, dot. Now it's hashtag Survivor time.
Yeah, so I'm wondering, you know, they do include that glad Casey won opinion in there, and I feel like those are the ones that don't get as many likes. So just for fun, I got to end on an answer that I like, so I'm going to go with the old friendship guy. I'll go with B.
I wish that one were true.
I know.
That one only had two of the 16 likes on comment A. So, but I think from now on out, I'm going to call Paul old friendship guy.
Old friendship guy.
Old friendship guy. But anyway, I actually have one more that I was going to use as a tiebreaker. Although, Puya, congratulations. You are the winner. 3-1.
Thank you.
But the tiebreaker, I actually thought was really funny because, so this was a comment. As far as y'all who are seriously hating on the airtime that Christopher and Bailey's proposal took up, I have to ask. If instead Tyler had planned out a proposal to Angela and took up that much exact airtime, would y'all be reacting the same negative way? Would there be so much negativity, hate, and anger? Question mark. It had 97 likes. So anyway, I thought that was a real brain puzzler.
Well, that's the surprisingly adept for the Facebook page for someone to point out sort of the hypocrisy that can come with the fandom and their shipping.
See, this is why I hate them. They're like self-aware. It's awful.
Yeah, what the hell?
Yeah, just say stupid stuff and help me make my segment. Like,
where's
hard.
The guy asking for the website for the nip slips for Big Brother? That guy's not there.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I'm actually surprised that Fessy did not respond. If you're doing casual tweets, Fessy would be like, Haley, why'd you say that about the Tyler winning?
Yeah, that's actually going to be a segment for next summer when we do the BBB&B for BB21. It's going to be the Fessy tweets game.
Oh, my God.
Similar to the Rupert tweets game.
Fantastic. Oh, well, that makes me look forward to so many reasons for the BBB&B, because we're going to close up shop here, at least for Big Brother. To allude to the comment from the last question, we do still have some Survivor stuff going on. Liana, how can people follow you on social media and check out the Survivor-based work that we're going to be doing through the fall here?
Yes, so you can follow me on social media. I am at Liana Boras, LianaBoraas. And Survivor is hashtag back, or now it's hashtag Survivor time.
Don't say
was.
Back, Liana. Don't say back.
Right. Oh, yeah. Trigger word. All right, so we're not going to get on that boat, but we will fly out to Fiji for this season of Survivor. Mike and I will be covering Survivor as part of the Survivor B&B, and we are actually going to be recording later on today with our guest Rourke Luskin, which I'm super pumped about. I think it's going to be a ton of fun to cover everything from the premiere episode, and of course, we will be continuing throughout the season with our coverage.
And Puya, thank you so much for coming on, going through all 7 preseason predictions that Leon and I wrote off, making some bold and beautiful predictions as to how Las Vegas were going to go. I always enjoy having you on. I'm glad, as you said, we get an opportune moment for the two of us to actually talk on a podcast together. So thanks for coming on and lighting up our lives for this final podcast.
Aw, am I your guys' Tangela?
We're having a tangeloner for you right now.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, no, I love stuff like time capsules and that kind of thing. So to come back and reflect on your guys' predictions from before the season, I'd love that. So I'm really happy I got to be here. Fourth appearance at the BNB, always a 5-star stay. I want to leave with one question for you guys. Ross and Marissa did this for their wrap-ups that they were doing in the backyard at the end. I want you guys to each name a celebrity you want to see in the upcoming Celebrity Big Brother season.
Ooh. Can I vote not Meta World Peace?
Well, that's your pick.
Anyone but Meta World Peace.
I would love Gus Kentworthy. Cause he's such a big RuPaul's Drag Race fan and he is very, very sassy. So I feel like either him or Adam Rippon would, any of the Olympian athletes, would be a good fit in the post Sochi CBB2.
I'm still holding out hope that Miss New York, Tiffany Pollard,
yes,
will be on, because I love her. Also, any drag queen I would be down with, because I feel like there are so many that you could choose from.
Look,
Cornucopia.
Alyssa Edwards' Netflix series drops next week. I feel like it's a perfect way to catapult her into the limelight. I feel like it would be, I don't know, it would be perfect. And hopefully, if New York's in the show, I will provide the stipulation that she has to be on with someone named David, just to provide another hopeful big viral moment.
Oh my God, I think that would be wonderful. Also, Mike White from the season of Survivor. No, I'm just kidding. Just get him, just do the whole pantheon while we're at it. Mayor of Slamtown, I don't know. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I'm actually really looking forward to Celebrity Big Brother. I think the shorter season, it's just like, I just remember in the winter, it was just like this 3-week just crazy bender that was so much fun. And, you know, I hope that this is a repeat, you know, high hopes, but let's set my expectations low. But yeah, I am looking forward to it. But Pooya, who would you pick to be on the season?
Oh, I didn't think that was going to happen.
We turn around the question back on you.
Yeah. Well, I know that, what's his name from the OJ trial was in the audience. I feel like that might've been like a snippet of things.
Kato Kalin?
Yeah.
And he's used to living in like beach houses and slumming it.
There you go. That would be one. No, I think we should get Cedric the Entertainer.
Oh no. Is it gonna be a visit from Grover Johnson?
I can only hope so, Mike. That's the dream. That's the dream. We're 3 days away from that premiere too, so I'm excited for that.
How do you know that?
It's on every commercial break.
It's
embedded in my head.
Exactly.
Now.
It's branded into our heads. Thank you, CBS.
Yeah,
well,
October
you
1st.
Can always follow Pooya at Pooyaism to check out all the great takes he has throughout this reality TV season. You can follow me at @AMikeBloomType. If you haven't yet, check out all the exit press I did with those final 7 contestants, including talked with the final 3 I did the day after. They were really enjoyable. I really do love this cast. And I think they all had some very interesting candid conversations about their games. I'll also be covering exit press for Survivor, as well as some other stuff with the Hollywood Reporter, especially with Comic-Con next week. I'll be doing some Comic-Con stuff in New York. Speaking of New York, if you guys are going to be at the Live and Know-It-Alls next week, come and say hi. I don't know what do we have a code word that they should use if they're a
mop like meat boy.
If you go up to me and call me a mop like meat boy, I will know that you are a B&B listener and not someone who might have had a bit too much to imbibe that night. But I'm always excited to talk with people who join into our shenanigans on the B&B. And I do want to thank everyone for listening all season long. I know we stopped it only a few times, but special thanks to Amon Odwin, Haley Strong, and Ali Lasher for coming on as well. And hopefully, like Liana says, it could be a quick and dirty Celebrity Big Brother 2, but maybe we'll have some ammunition, Liana, to do at least a couple of those as well.
Ooh, yeah, all right, I'm down.
Yeah, absolutely. We'll have to do some. I'm sure the casuals will have some definitive thoughts about celebrities, and we'll see if Fessy responds to celebrity accounts the way he responds to Stan accounts.
Oh yeah, I gotta start writing down all the Fessy fitness stuff. We're gonna do a whole show on Fessy. Just you wait.
It'll be a little offset. We're building like a little a section for Fessy specifically. But thank you all again so much for listening all season long. Thank you to Big Brother 20 for being such a fun season to talk about. We'll be talking about Survivor very soon. If not, you'll probably hear us in the next year talking about Big Brother in some capacity. Consider this a ta-ta for now, if you will. Thank you guys so much, Liana, Puya, great work as per usual. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye. We'll check you out at your next stay.
Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name. It's the R-H-A-P-B-M-B. Mike and Liana, yeah, they're playing some games. You better pray to your mama that they're not super lame. And if that all sounds cool, I can tell you the name.